What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're into hour number two today, but typically this is the beginning of Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game because of the holiday. We started a little bit earlier, divvying up the hours a little bit differently here today. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles in for Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. Phone lines are open at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570, as is the Xfinity mobile text line. Talking here off the top, and we will get into some 49ers conversation coming up a little bit later on in the program. Michael Irvin is going to join us, the playmaker, as he does each and every week on this show. 5 o'clock for Michael Irvin, so stay tuned for that. We will talk some football as well, as we're going to be with you until 6 o'clock. But starting off with the Warriors and their big win last night against the Memphis Grizzlies at Chase Center, shorthanded. Dubs get the job done, 123-109. And we talked a lot about it at the beginning of the show here at 2 o'clock, Alan. I thought Draymond Green and Klay Thompson set the tone early in this one as far as just physicality, intensity, trash talking, whatever it was. They let everybody know down the line that this was a massive game. This is a game where everybody was going to have to play up, and it was a game that they wanted, and therefore everybody else better fall in line and play exactly like, you know, it was a pseudo playoff game on December the 25th. The young guys, impactful individually, James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, impactful collectively, both, you know, all three playing well together in the same night, even all three playing well at the same time on the floor together in the same night, and the two-way guys contributing as well as far as Ty Jerome, big run in the second half. Anthony Lamb hit some threes in the first half. And the question now becomes, as the Warriors thoroughly enjoyed beating the Grizzlies, how sustainable is it? Is this kind of a one-off like the game against Boston, winning shorthanded against the Celtics? Were they juiced because it felt like a playoff game against their two toughest opponents going back to last year's playoffs? Or can this team bottle some of what they found last night for these next seven games and have a real positive homestand that can set the tone for when Steph Curry comes back? And then maybe we feel a little bit differently about the prospects for this team as it's currently constituted.
Right. And are you going to get those types of numbers from the bench, deep in the bench, every single game? No. But you shouldn't need that to win every basketball game. But you can't be the polar opposite of that as well. I think what is exciting about the Warriors did last night is after you saw the dismantling in Brooklyn, you don't necessarily hear, you know, obviously they have the post-game press conferences and things like that, but you don't really hear what's going on, you know, Draymond being that leader, Steph obviously being around even though he's injured. What is everybody talking about? How is everybody doing? What's the vibe? We try to follow the beat writers. Seems like everybody is still in good spirits, but there's one thing to talk about it. There's another thing to be about it, and I think based on what just happened on that road trip, they said, look, we didn't play well at all. We know it was going to be tough. Obviously, you lose Steph, but we can't get embarrassed here. There's lines, and this is a line that we are not willing to cross, right? Okay, we can get blown out to the Nets on the second half of a back-to-back with no Steph, no Wiggins. We can lose some of these tough road games that we knew it was going to be, you know, tough sledding to get done, but we cannot have everybody and their mothers watching us on Christmas Day and get embarrassed. That's just something that's just not gonna fly. And I think Draymond, either whether he said it literally or just said it throughout his, you know, the beginning of the pregame, going into the beginning of the game, even Klay, who we know isn't really that rah-rah guy, but those guys just said, look, man, this is the one we're gonna get. I don't even know, to be completely honest, JD, talking about how this is going to kind of, spill over to the rest of this homestand? I have no clue. I have no clue if it's going to spill over. I have no clue if this is going to start the Warriors or kickstart them into the season. I just think they said, we're not losing this one.
Yeah, and I think, look, some Warrior fans, that's enough,
right?
Frankly.
Right.
I mean, we had a couple of people call last night on the postgame show and said, hey, if the Warriors go 1-7 mm-hmm. on this homestand, I would want the one to be the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, no, hey, it's going to be tough without Steph and who knows about Wiggins, but you beat the Grizzlies. You know, and shut them up for a night.
Right.
Or maybe be the reason they don't get home court advantage in a playoff series, then that's good enough. I'm a little curious as to wondering if the Warriors, as they are constituted now, can dial up the intensity. You're not going to make 18 threes, and we didn't mention the 18 threes in the first half either.
Right.
You win a lot of games when you make 18 threes. You especially win a lot of games you make 18 threes and you play with the physicality, intensity, edge. I mean, it was a playoff-style game.
Mm-hmm.
I think Memphis brings that out of the Warriors a little bit. I think clearly the Warriors bring that out in Memphis, although they play that way on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now, to me, more about, you know, great for one night, and it should be celebrated and appreciated, and it is a little bit of a warning shot to the rest of the league, as was the Boston game, that the Warriors, even shorthanded at Chase Center, can cobble it together and win gritty.
Right.
And I think that's a positive thing. It really doesn't matter, though. So I set that aside and then say it really doesn't matter, though, in the grand scheme of things, if they can't win 5 or 6 of these next 7,
right,
because it's still going to be an uphill climb later on down the line. And I also am still reluctant to say, maybe this is a pivot point for mm-hmm. the young guys. Maybe it is, to where they become regularly playable in a playoff rotation down the line. Like, maybe that's something that's still attainable. We'll see. I still tend to lean probably not, because this is really the first game all season where all three of them have played well and impacted winning against not only a good team, but a team that's among the top, let's say, 5 or 6 in the NBA.
I think one of the biggest takeaways, and this is not the takeaway I thought I'd have after, you know, watching this game or going into watching this game, is that secondary, or I would say at this right now he's secondary because Steph's out, but Ty Jerome early in the season, you know, he caught a lot of flack from myself. He caught a lot of flack from a lot of people. First of all, I'm thinking, well, you know, I haven't seen this kid since Virginia, it felt like.
I don't like to do the pat on the back thing, mm-hmm. but I was one of the few people that liked that signing.
Okay.
I took a lot of heat from
all
that.
Right.
I'm going to leave that there. I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you. To
good.
Pat. I didn't
no.
mean to interrupt you to do that.
You got
to
take your W's.
That's not my, but like a lot of people were like, why the Ty Jerome?
It's
like, I actually kind of like Ty Jerome when he played for OKC. I know it's different, obviously, environment there, but there were some games even against the Warriors where he knocked down some shots. And I'm like, oh, he's got a little handle. He's not a great player, but he's got a little handle and can knock down some shots.
Right.
I thought with the Warriors, that could be pretty useful. And he's also, just from listening to him in the post-game press conference, he's got a little edge to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a little bit of a, you know, laser focus kind of, like, not a lot of fluff to him, not a lot of joking around to him, which I think plays well with the rest of this Warriors team.
No, and I think that there's something to be said about having two-way guys on the team. You know, one of my favorite shows that I'm watching right now on Netflix is Last Chance U, right? And I wouldn't say Ty Jerome is in a Last Chance U situation, but he's not a lottery pick, right? He doesn't know how many more chances he's going to get in this league, and I think that does add a level, I would say a GP2-esque level of urgency to his play.
He's kind of a poor man's DiVincenzo. Not as good defensively, but like similar. Like,
yes.
He went to Virginia, DiVincenzo to Villanova.
Right.
Like, they're played a lot in college, helped teams win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's some similarities there.
No, and I think that offensively, you're never going to want, you know, you're never going to necessarily want Ty Jerome to fill it up, but I think early on in the season, it was pass the ball around because I know I'm just Ty Jerome and I don't necessarily want to shoot. Now I have the ball with 4 seconds left, so now I'm going to jack up a three and maybe it goes in, maybe it doesn't. What we saw last night, because of Steph being out and then Jordan Poole, I think Ty Jerome actually went off before Jordan Poole was ejected. But to see Ty Jerome, hey, if you got lanes and you can get to that floater and you can get to the cup, nobody has you right now circled on their scouting report. So if you, but we believe, and they were saying it on the broadcast, that this kid can score the basketball. The issue has been, you know, his ability to right. defend at times.
Exactly.
So look, if they're gonna you know, cheat off you and make you be the one to beat. To beat them, yeah, other teams are going to live with, all right, well, we shut down Steph and Jordan Poole, but by golly, that Ty Jerome really got us, right? So other teams are going to live with that, but if you can sneak out 10 here, 10 there from the bench, that can open up some things, as kind of crazy as it sounds.
Yeah, and last night they did it, and there's been a lot of games where they've been looking for those points and haven't been able to find them, no matter who's been on the floor as well. And yet, I mean, look, Ty Jerome helped them a lot last night. Mm-hmm. I think over the and here it is, it pops in. I couldn't remember the player's name, and the text, although it was about a different player, that just popped up. It reminded me of people freaked out when Quindary Weatherspoon was cut.
That's right.
And Ty Jerome was signed. Mm-hmm. Like, freaked out. Like, that was like the most egregious, appalling back end of a roster cut and addition in the history of the NBA. Mm-hmm. And it really wasn't. Like, it really, Ty Jerome was a better fit, and they wanted a ball handler. Like, they basically viewed Ty Jerome, and I actually jokingly, in as I was saying, hey, you know, I kind of like the Ty Jerome move. I also jokingly said, and I was wrong about this, it really hasn't taken on that level, but I thought he was going to be the Chioza. Like, I thought he was going to be the guy that, like, wasn't really that terrible, but everybody, yeah. but a lot of the fan base really fixated on and hated.
So you like the Ty Jerome signing, but you didn't
feel... I knew people were going to hate it. Oh, I knew Warrior fans
Chioza,
were going to hate it.
Chioza was probably better. So you're saying...
No, I think Jerome's better than Chioza, actually.
Right. But yeah. But how the fans viewed
They were going to view Ty Jerome like Chioza. But I think Ty Jerome's actually had a little more success early to where it's calmed down a little
way
bit.
More.
But we already have a text, and we don't need to get down this rabbit hole, but the 408 and the Xfinity Mobile text, like, Ty Jerome is taking up Rollins' minutes. Ryan Rollins can't play right now.
Let me ask you, 408. How much have you seen Ryan Rollins play? I'm just asking because I haven't seen him play that much.
Well, we got a lot of Ty Jerome's taking Moody's minutes. Well, they're not the same. Like, one's a ball handler and one's not.
Right. I'm just curious.
You know, Wiseman should be playing. Ty Jerome can play, but Wiseman can't. It's they're not. It's not apples to apples.
And I just do this thing, and I know we're the flagship, but I just do this thing where ultimately I trust. I trust Steve Kerr, and I trust these guys to get paid a lot of money, that they know basketball better than me. So if Steve Kerr thinks that Ty Jerome is the guy right now instead of Ryan Rollins, I'm going to trust whatever time champion Steve Kerr, right? 8,000 time champion Steve Kerr, that he knows basketball better than me.
It's not even a debate. You don't even have to say that. Like, you really don't. I appreciate you for saying it. Mm-hmm. You're a good guy. You're trying to acknowledge all ends of this thing, but you don't have to say it. Like, you don't even have to acknowledge.
I just want to know.
Ty Jerome playing over Ryan Rollins. Like, we can have a conversation about Moody and this and that, and that's fine, but not Ryan Rollins. Not year one. No question. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles here on a holiday Monday on 95.7 The Game, as we're going to be with you until 6 o'clock, as we do have Michael Irvin that's going to join us coming up at 5, as he does each and every week in this time slot, as we sit in for Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. I want to get back to the Dylan Brooks. We were talking about the rivalry component, because that was full display last night. We played the Klay Thompson audio of his interview last night post game. Here is Dylan Brooks on the Klay Thompson taunt, and it's only a quote because I don't think they had cameras in the locker room last night on the Grizzlies side of it. But here's the quote. The refs, Dylan Brooks on the taunt from Klay Thompson, quote, "Refs let that happen. He was doing it all game. Then they want to catch the bad guy. That's whack to me. Bleeping up calls and putting the wrong guys at the free throw line. It was a circus. Should have had different refs." So that's one where you're going to get the fine.
You're definitely going to get fined.
Obviously, which hasn't popped up today, but today is a holiday. So probably pop up tomorrow.
Yeah, enjoy that.
The league office closed today, so expect that at about I don't know, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
But what is he even talking about in terms of want to blame it on the bad guy? There were plenty of texts to go around. And I believe most of them were from the Warriors. So I just don't know what he's talking about.
Talking about in terms of what?
The refs want to blame, you know, basically he's saying, I have this narrative as the bad guy, so got blamed. Yeah. But what did you get blamed for?
I think foul calls in games, in the game is probably what he was talking about. Jaren Jackson.
Texts matter more.
They were whining. Yeah, the Warriors did get all of the texts last night. All the texts.
You're getting the ball back. How many free, what was it, the end of the first half when there was the tech and then I believe it was Clay fouled the three-point shooter, right? And they got four free throws in a row. Tyus Jones, four free throws in a row. There was the tech.
Yeah, and three found the foul. It was a foul.
It was a foul. But I'm saying you guys are getting up so many opportunities. I don't know. They just lost.
I thought it was a horribly officiated game last night. There was a point where I put in my notes, I think late second quarter, I said the Warriors have actually gotten a pretty good whistle in this game, but they don't think they're getting a good whistle in this game. Mm-hmm. And look, the post-game comments tell you all you need to know. Like, neither team thought. Like, if we were doing the show in Memphis right now, we're probably talking about how the Grizzlies got hosed on a bunch of calls and it favored the Warriors, you know, the championship, team Warriors. So it that tells you that it was a horribly officiated game both ways. Mm-hmm. Now, the techs, I thought it was interesting. I it seemed like the Grizzlies were directing their aggression toward the Warriors players. The Warriors were directing their aggression or frustration sometimes toward the officials more than the Grizzlies players, although Draymond and Clay were talking all game. They were in everybody's face all game. I mean, Draymond was over Ja when Ja was on the ground barking at him. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised that didn't draw something.
Did Draymond have a tech in that game?
Draymond, I have the box score here. Yes, he did.
I mean, 308 in the first. Yes.
It was Draymond, Poole, Kerr, Kuminga, and then Poole again got ejected with 9:20 to go in the fourth, and then Klay Thompson for the taunt, which, I mean,
he earned it.
He did earn it.
If you're gonna get one, earn it. I think
he stuck his tongue out, right?
Who?
Clay. Did he
no, that
stick
was
his
Draymond.
Tongue out?
Well, maybe Clay did not. Too.
Okay. Well, I saw it was a grainy video, and obviously, being at the game, you don't always get all angles, and so I didn't want to bring it. But I meant to do a little research on it. I never got around to it. Clay did not stick his tongue out at Dylan Brooks when Dylan Brooks was on the ground. Clay. No, when Clay stood over him and got the tech.
I've only seen the angle of Clay's back.
Okay.
With Clay chirping as he's sliding.
I thought he stuck his tongue out at him. Like
he could have. I don't know. I have not seen that angle.
I mean, obviously the rest of it everybody saw, but I thought he actually stuck his tongue out.
Well, Draymond stuck his tongue at him later, and I think
And I may, like I said, maybe not there, but there. I thought there was one photo where it looked like Clay stuck his tongue out.
It's very possible,
but it was grainy and kind of it was zoomed.
Yeah, it's very possible. I think if you're a ref, that is one thing because like we talked about. The Warriors play the Grizzlies, what is it? What did I say? Four more times?
Three more times.
Three more times.
Yeah, you play them four times.
One more at Chase Center than two in Memphis. And I do, I almost, dare I say, JD, feel bad for the refs because I don't know how you're going. This thing is just, we love it, but it's got to be pretty darn hard to officiate. And we talked about in the pre-show how Draymond did a lot. Draymond did a lot in terms of, you know, he's it was a quick one at Ja on the ground, but there was that whole back and forth with Draymond, and he yelled some words that you probably shouldn't yell at Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks told him to watch his mouth. Draymond says it back, and we're watching this on TV. And at that point,
well, there was at one point Dylan Brooks said, "Say that to my face."
He said, "Yeah,
I caught that on the board in the." When they needed to be separated and Draymond was, and like Dylan Brooks turned, he said, "Say that to my face."
Right. I think, Draymond said something pretty gnarly.
That's that situation.
He said something pretty gnarly and there was no tech there. And you know, they're at the free throw line. So it's quiet enough. Everybody heard. So the refs, I felt like some techs got given away because the refs didn't want to be the main story, but this thing could have got out of hand. So you don't give Draymond a tech for yelling at Ja as he's on the ground and then yelling, you know, going back and forth with Dylan Brooks when everybody can hear what they're saying. But then Kuminga gets a tech for kind of just say, ooh, and then I think he might have clapped, and he got a tech for that. And I just think that that was just the classic.
He ran down to the other end, right?
No, Kuminga did not run.
Okay.
Ja ran down to the end on one, and he didn't get a tech.
I thought the Kuminga one was weak. We had a text that just, I thought the Kuminga call was weak. I think you could make the case the Jordan Poole call as a second tech was weak.
Yes.
But I also think Jordan Poole's got a rep.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Poole's got a rep. Like, fair, unfair, Jordan Poole's got a rep among the refs as being whiny. Like, that's, like, just flat out. And there are some...
If he's got a rep, then what the heck does Luka Doncic have?
I think he has one, too. I'll bet Luka's among the league leaders in techs.
All right.
I would bet... I haven't looked at it recently, but I would bet that Luka Doncic is among the league leaders in technical fouls.
I just think everybody chirps. I don't think Jordan Poole chirps more than...
Yeah, and I think at some point, if you're a loud chirper, like Draymond would be a loud chirper.
Yes.
Not really a chirp, I guess, if it's loud.
Mm-hmm.
But Draymond, so I think at some point, Poole is one of those guys that I think might, because he's quieter about it, we don't always notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he, sneaky, is complaining a lot more than meets the eye.
I could see that.
And to the point where he's already on officials' last nerve.
And
then it's like, because it's constant. And again, we don't see it. And it's never like him flipping out and waving his arms and getting in somebody's face. Mm-hmm. But it's always the every play.
Well, and he's getting those discontinued dribbles, which was one of those called last night?
They did call one against him last night. And
But not Ja Morant.
There was not one called against Ja Morant last night, I don't believe.
I'm just saying it's unreal. Look, the 925 is confirming a couple on the Xfinity Mobile text line confirming that Klay did stick his tongue out. I gotta find that angle of the video or that angle of the picture.
Yeah, it was a still photo that I saw last night. It was on Twitter, and
okay.
I thought on the initial replay maybe that he did, but it wasn't a great angle. And then I saw the picture and I thought, wow, that's almost like I might get up and we might need to come to blows.
It's all I get. Look, man, and look, it's all in good fun for now. Clay's just saying it's good old fashioned. I like it. I think the Grizzlies like it as well. We're getting some texts, JD, from the 510 and from the 408 as well. When we were talking about Ryan Rollins, not to go down that path, but they are saying that, you know, the kids are building some chemistry in Santa Cruz. I think that's cool.
That's part of my frustration with the conversation mm-hmm. about the young players. The fact that Ryan Rollins may go on to be a really good NBA player,
mm-hmm.
but that's not 2023. That might be 2025, might be 2027. Like 2027, Ryan Rollins might be a backup point guard that's in everybody. You know, he might be a 10-year player in the league mm-hmm. when it's all said. Like, I don't know. Nobody knows. But to say that he should be playing right now ahead of this guy or that guy and it's about player development, I mean, part of the reason the Warriors' record is bad is because their young players have been unable to contribute at a high enough level, and that's been the lottery picks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget about a second-round guard at this point. And again, I'm sure he's got a better chance being drafted by the Warriors, I think, than being drafted by somebody else in that vein to go down and get his seasoning. And so I'm not, you know, this happens with the lottery guys all the time, where it's like you make a comment about whether you think they can contribute now, and people take that as if it's an indictment of their entire career. Like, mm-hmm. no, I think Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody, all three of them, I'm not writing off their career. I just think it's more likely than not that they're not going to be major contributors even this year based on what we've seen, and especially come playoff time.
Yeah, it's a timing thing. And look, when it comes to Ty Jerome, we're acting like he's this elder statesman. He's 25. I'm not saying he's going to, you know, become some all-star point guard moving forward, but let's not act like he can't improve either. So I think that is a version of the future too. What if you have found some type of diamond in the rough, right? It might not be a diamond, maybe a ruby, something like that. So I understand where people are coming from, but I just think, okay, if you want to talk about Moody being a lottery pick, cool. But to go to Ryan Rollins and try to, you know, talk about him right now, like we're not talking about in the future when Ty Jerome is only 25 himself and he can do some things and he's shown he can do some things in this league, just might be a little bit premature. we're getting helped out here. The NBA tech foul leaders right now, JD, Kevin Durant with 11, Draymond Green with 10, Dylan Brooks with 9,
okay.
Luka with 8,
okay.
and Jordan Poole with 8.
There you go. Yeah, mm-hmm. Jordan Poole's sneaky in there.
So now I feel better.
Luka's always near the top.
Yeah.
I think he had 15 or 16. There was a year where he had to miss a game, I think, at the end.
Yeah.
Right before the playoffs.
Kevin Durant kind of surprised me with 11.
No, Kevin Durant's always talking.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's got a temper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Durant has a temper, and he's always talking. Like, mm-hmm. Durant's one of those guys that's always talking on the floor. Some of it's good-natured, some of it's not, but he is always talking on the floor.
Yeah.
That one doesn't surprise me. 888-957-9570. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles in for Damon and Ratto here on 95.7 The Game. More phone calls, more texts. We'll switch gears. We'll talk some 49ers. Another big win. Man, they are rolling right now with two games to go. 11-4. They've won 8 in a row. And we'll get into the Niners conversation. And yeah, Brock Purdy at Chase mm-hmm. last night, sitting with Debo Samuel and Joe Lacob and all of that. We'll get into the 49ers coming back here, as this segment has been sponsored by the Department of Healthcare Services and CalHope.org.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, back with you here, John Dickinson and Alan Stiles. In for Damon and Ratto, 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to give us a call or shoot us a text. One final note here as far as the Warriors go. We'll get back into some Warriors later, but going to switch gears and talk some 49ers, as they were able to win over the Commanders at Levi's on Saturday. 510 on the Xfinity Mobile text line. LeBron cries a lot as well, and the NBA wouldn't have kicked him or Luka out of a game on Christmas Day. My response to that is, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jordan Poole's not LeBron or Luka. Them's the rules.
That's just the way it goes. And we already talked about this. I mean, look, even Draymond, the stuff Draymond was doing, he could have easily gotten 2 tackles.
Yeah, he has raised his bar over the years so much that his low end is probably higher than Jordan Poole's high end.
Exactly.
I think the officials have been told, because maybe there's been a few quick trigger ejections on Draymond's account over the years. I think the officials at some point were told to tone it down a little bit on Draymond. So we'll see. But I do think Poole is a constant chirper. And so he low-key annoys the officials more than a lot of guys do, because it's all the time. And even though it doesn't necessarily get seen like some of the others do.
Yeah, he definitely has a slick mouth, because Damian Lillard was on the Draymond Green podcast, I think it was a couple years ago, and he talked about how Jordan Poole wasn't even balling at that time, and Jordan Poole, Damian Lillard said, was talking to him completely crazy, as if he was already that guy. So I think Jordan Poole is probably saying some things, to your point. It might not be as demonstrative as Draymond Green, but he's saying some things that you probably shouldn't say to the refs.
No, I think that's, probably accurate there. 49ers win over the Commanders, 37-20 on Saturday. 8th consecutive win for the Niners. They are 11-4. The Vikings continue to have heroics at home, so they maintain the 2 seed for now, although that still can flip with a Vikings loss. Vikings are playing the Packers coming up. 49ers are going to play the Raiders in Vegas on New Year's Day Sunday. But another quality effort from Brock Purdy in this game for the 49ers. George Kittle is rolling. Purdy, 2 touchdowns and an interception that wasn't his fault in this one, off the hands of Juwan Jennings. But 15-22, 234, and a touchdown and interception for Brock Purdy. The defense with some big fourth down stops to help flip the game. And then once the Niners get ahead, they're able to really pin their ears back and get after the quarterback, and Bosa takes it over, and then the turnovers start coming, and it wound up being a blowout win.
Yeah, and look, we knew the Commanders. It's weird because I wouldn't necessarily say that they're one-dimensional, but they got
some talented skill players.
They're not one-dimensional, but they need that one dimension to start rolling before they can get into the other dimensions. So you couldn't really get the running game. They tried their darndest to get the running game going. Niners, number one against the run, so that wasn't happening. They tried to take some shots down the field. It wasn't, you know, until Charvarius Ward was out for a little bit that we even saw Terry McLaurin show up for a little bit. So I just think that the Niners knew what the Commanders wanted to do. They shut that down. The Commanders, I mean, even getting 20 on the Niners is pretty impressive at this point. Some of that, or you know, some of those points due to that interception that went off of Juwan Jennings' hands. Great solid win for the Niners. I felt that once the game started, because the Commanders could have really used that win, and the Niners already clinched the NFC West, even though they already clinched it. That Raiders game, a lot of people have been talking about it. It's on New Year's. I thought this could be a pseudo trap game, because I think a lot of people said, hey, Raiders game could be a trap game. So I thought that that was actually starting to grow a little bit into an actual, you know, barn burner with before the Raiders blew it again this past weekend. You know, the Raiders had an outside chance to get into the playoffs. So I thought, okay, maybe the Commanders, they could slide in a hungry team and you know, try to do to the Niners what they did to the Eagles when they gave the Eagles that first loss before the Eagles just lost to the Cowboys. But ultimately, you know, the Niners defense, this was the closest thing we saw them to bend, don't break, because really they just haven't bent at all these last couple weeks. But the Commanders just didn't have enough juice.
No, I think this was probably the best opponent the 49ers have played in a while. I mean, if you go back.
Well, what are we doing with the Dolphins?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Dolphins, I think, are better than Washington, I guess.
Although, yeah. They
look like they're flailing, but yeah. But I think as far as style of play, defense, run game, they were number one in time of possession. Mm-hmm. Washington was coming in, the Niners are two. They were dominating time of possession. It was 7-7, and really, you know, it was an opportunistic kind of a game for the 49ers. You know, they go down, get stopped at the goal line. Washington goes down, and the 49ers stuff them at the one. You know, first turning point of the game is basically the stop. And then the big run for Ray McLeod. The Niners stop him after a long drive. Washington with a 17-play, 84-yard drive. They took 11 minutes off the clock. They get stuffed at the one, and then the 49ers go 99 yards with McLeod doing, 75 of that on the big run. The Debo play that Ray McLeod takes to the house. And at that point, it's 7-0, and then the 49ers playing from a position of advantage. But, you know, the bobbled interception hurt. Washington kept coming in that first half, frankly, and tied it up at 7. And when it's 7-7 at halftime, you're thinking, hey, this thing's hanging in the balance. If Washington had been able to punch it in a little bit earlier, you know, then we got to see Brock Purdy play from behind, really, for the first time.
Yeah.
Against a good defense, and in particular a good defensive line. But it never quite got to that point. The Niners able to open the second half with a big-time drive. There's a play where Kittle and Ray McLeod are both open, and Purdy drives that throw and hits him, and a great throw. And at that point, it's 14-7, and then Ron Rivera goes for it on his own 34 a couple of possessions after that, and that's pretty much night-night.
Yeah. You know,
they find Kittle again off of that short field, touchdown, and then it turns into, you know, 21-7, and at that point, it's kind of an uphill climb for Washington with as good as the Niners' defense are. So, great win. Very well-played game, top to bottom.
Yeah, all around, there again, no complaints. As you see, all these other teams, even the good teams, JD, just struggling every week, and we'll get into this with Michael Irvin when he comes on later as well. The Niners just really haven't seemed to have that issue, right? They don't struggle. They have not struggled during this whole stretch. I mean, Washington's coming in as a fourth-ranked defense. You put up 37, nearly 40 points on the fourth-ranked defense, and you can make the argument, it got to a point, later in the game where I wouldn't say Kyle Shanahan kind of called the dogs off, but you didn't necessarily need to keep putting the pedal to the metal.
Well, they had some red zone issues. I mean, having to kick the field goals that they had to kick, mm-hmm. I think were problematic. I mean, once it got to 21-14, having to kick three field goals, maybe a little conservative there, but they had chances to really end that game and turn it into a blowout a lot faster than they did and were unable to do it. So the red zone hasn't been an issue, but it was in that game.
Well, they haven't really been in there because they've been getting these big plays.
Some of that game Saturday too was the points, the 37 as it ended up is, some of that was pylon points, right? You get ahead and then there's a turnover and then short fields and then mm-hmm. you're pylon on there. So I don't think it was all like, oh, they lit up, we're just lit up for 37.
But towards the end, when they could have kicked that field goal and made it two possessions, a two possession ball game with, what was it? 2-3 minutes left, something like that. Not only does Kyle Shanahan go for it, I believe it was 4th and 3.
Yeah.
They go for it and they throw the football. He threw the football.
I think that at that point, it feels like a freebie almost mm-hmm. because you are up 2 scores. You kick it, you go up where 2 touchdowns would beat you because you're up 13. But at that point, it's like, why not go for it? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to be pinned up deep anyway. The 49ers defensive line at that point is dominating the game. And, you got to get 2 scores.
I'm going to go there, feeling okay, JD.
But you have a chance to end it if you score the touchdown.
But I'm going
to
go there.
To me, that's an easier call for it.
I'm going to go there. I don't know. And I don't even want to, but I feel like I don't have a choice. I don't know if that play gets called with Jimmy.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe, maybe not.
I'm just saying, I do think you can say that, it was an easier call to make, but I do think it also goes to the fact that Kyle Shanahan trusts Brock Purdy. That's all I'm saying. This is no slight on Jimmy. Yeah, I'm just saying it's more about Kyle Shanahan trusting Brock Purdy.
I think the thing that's happened with the 49ers since Brock Purdy took over and is, to me, the biggest difference, and this is a credit to Purdy, it's a credit to the 49ers for developing Purdy. The biggest difference in Purdy taking over from Garoppolo is the plays that are schemed up to be open, to go for big plays, explosives, touchdowns, mm-hmm. have been hit.
Right.
Have been hit. And we don't know if that's Purdy scanning and going to different options or if it's just Kyle saying, hey, we're going to run this play. Kittle's going to be open. Hit him. It's going to be open. Maybe you look it off and come back. Whatever it is, he's going to be open. And if we block it right, it's going to the house.
Yeah.
And he's able to hit. Like, those are the plays where it doesn't always seem, even maybe when Shanahan's telling Jimmy it's there, that it's a little frenetic. And Garoppolo's a little bit off. The timing's a little bit off. The throw's a little bit off. Whatever it is, to where those are either misses or they don't go for touchdowns that ultimately lead to field goals later on. And so while the red zone issues popped up, I still think, hey, deep shot called up for Ray McLeod mm-hmm. and Kittle's so open that he ends up stealing it away from Ray in the end zone, right? The play to Kittle where it's catch and run, he's got a blocker in front of him, come back to the middle, that's a touchdown. Like, those plays are being hit. And those plays were not being hit. And I think this goes to a lot of the frustration for 49er fans with Garoppolo. It was always, even more than the oh no throw, mm-hmm. was the plays that were clearly missed mm-hmm. in games that could have been big plays. That hasn't happened with Brock Purdy.
No, but I also think that on top of that, Brock Purdy's ability to, I call him slippery, his ability to extend the play, to get away, to evade the pass rush, has also allowed for Kyle Shanahan to draw up these plays that take a little bit longer to develop. Jimmy, you didn't have time for some of these routes to even be run. So I think that's part of it as well.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson and Alan Stiles here on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 6 as we're in for Damon and Ratto today. Michael Irvin is going to join us, the playmaker, coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on with the Niners and everything going on league-wide as it pertains to the 49ers as they gear up for the Raiders on Sunday. Outside chance, and I was reading a report from, I think, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, outside chance that the Raiders at least will consider maybe not playing Derek Carr in the final two games. Although I was looking at the Raiders had not, I mean, they're not mathematically eliminated as of yet, right? But there are things that could happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not making the playoffs, but they're not technically mathematically eliminated yet.
Sure. Don't.
You a Raiders guy?
I am a Raiders
guy. Okay, I didn't know that. I wasn't coming down your road. I could tell by the way you reacted. Like,
I'm just, I'm calling it over. It's just better.
It's over, but a lot of times until it's mathematically over, you wouldn't make a change like that to a guy that's been your quarterback for almost a decade. That's all I was saying.
Well, it looks like Lee wants to talk about it.
You want to take Lee?
Yeah. Lee, what you got for us?
All right, Lee, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, fellas. First of all, thanks for taking my call. And I want to say that, there's still a lot of Raiders fans in the Bay Area. But what I really want to call about is Derek check engine light car. And why do I call him that is because, when you got a vehicle that you drive, the check engine light come out. Oh, man, the check engine light is on. Now, the car take you locally. It can take you to the store, whatever. But you're not going to drive it down Highway 5 going to L.A. because it's going to break down. And that's what Derek Carr is. Man, the dude constantly makes dumb mistakes over and over again. And I'll give you one prime example which just frustrates Raider fans from here to eternity. When they were in Oakland, they had a fourth down and goal on the 3-yard line with no last play of the game. You either score or you lose. You get pressure on him, he throws it away. He didn't even throw it into the end zone. He threw it out of bounds. Man, kick the ball, play it, throw a homie roller, do something. He threw it away. This Derek Carr in a nutshell, man. And Bill Walsh said it best. He's just good enough to get you beat.
Wow.
All right, thanks for the call.
Oh, we got rid of. I was going to ask Lee, would you trade Derek Carr for Brock Purdy?
Look, at this point, I mean, you're riding Purdy till the end. And we don't ultimately know. I know there is some news coming out of the 49ers conference call today as far as, I guess, Jimmy Garoppolo got his cast off.
Mm-hmm.
Or the boot, I guess it was. I should clarify that. I would just happen to be scanning it here as we were talking, and he is going through that conference call that began at 3:30. So I'll get that for you. But yeah, he got out of the boot, right? Sterling, can we confirm that?
Is it time to have that conversation?
What?
If Jimmy's ready at any point?
No, it's Purdy all the way at this point.
What if Jimmy was ready?
The report was from the 49er team reporter, Lindsay Polaris. Kyle Shanahan said Jimmy Garoppolo got his cast off, but no further updates. I wasn't sure he was in a cast. I thought it was a... We digress on that. We'll get more information on it and pass it along. But no, what if Garoppolo was healthy right now, they'd be riding with Purdy.
You would ride with Purdy as well?
Right now, yeah. There hasn't been anything... he's playing well. They're winning. Yeah. Like it's all of the same. It's the same debate that we'd be having. Let's say if Trey Lance were ready,
mm-hmm.
for me. Now I know other people may disagree on that, but like if Garoppolo was playing and they were winning, let's say Garoppolo was playing and they had won 8 in a row, okay, mm-hmm. and maybe not as well as Purdy is with all the touchdowns or whatever, but they were still winning and he was still playing well for mm-hmm. him, and Trey Lance was healthy.
Okay.
You'd be rolling with Garoppolo my mind at that point. Well,
I hear you, but that was such a more unique situation, if you will, because everybody knew at that point in time, Jimmy was better than Trey to start this season. But the hope was that Trey would, be considered as better than Jimmy at the end of the season. So that would be a different situation than Brock Purdy, because unless we just think at this point Brock Purdy's already better than Jimmy. Is this a hot hand conversation, or is this a I think Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy conversation?
I think it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest, it's just so it can be a hot hand conversation. I think it can be either way you want to put it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, to me, it's just you're winning with Purdy, and the offense is running more efficiently with Purdy, and like you're riding that out. Now, if he has two bad games, if he had two bad games, let's say, in the final two games, and then, you know, then maybe it's a different conversation. If he has a bad playoff game and you eke one out, and then, you know, Garoppolo's healthy week two of the playoffs, let's say, well, then maybe we're having a conversation about it. But right now, to me, there's no debate. And yes, just confirming with other reporters, yes, it was a cast for Garoppolo. No further update from Kyle Shanahan, but he did get his cast off. Also a chance Deebo Samuel returns to practice this week. So how you feeling about that one as far as Deebo goes? You bringing him back right now, or you being a little cautious? I'd be cautious with Deebo. I would not play Deebo the rest of the regular season.
I can see that, and you know,
and it's
why.
A good sign if he can come back to practice this week,
right?
For like, okay, great. Then that means in 2 weeks, when you're playing a playoff game, he's ready to roll.
If you're Kyle Shanahan, you have to look yourself in the mirror and think to yourself, okay, do I trust myself to put Deebo on some type of pitch count? Because Kyle Shanahan, once something gets rolling, he can't stop. He's like the Pringles. Once you pop, the fun don't stop. Once he starts using Deebo, he will not stop using Deebo. And I thought that this was growth for Kyle Shanahan this past weekend against the Commanders, because Christian McCaffrey had 26 carries in Seattle. He had 15 against the Commanders, and I thought that was awesome. I thought that was great. We'd been talking about, okay, Elijah Mitchell's already out. Now you lose Deebo. What are you going to do now? Run Christian McCaffrey into the ground? And what do we see in Seattle? 26 carries, a couple receptions. Yeah. That's too much. So,
but that's also a game you had to win for the division. Have. Like I felt like that game was the equivalent of bringing your closer in the eighth inning, nobody out.
Right.
Like we're just, you know what? Forget it. Four outs, five outs. Mm-hmm. Like he is the most trustable ball handler I have on the team.
Yeah.
This is why we got him to end Seattle right now with 3 weeks to go.
No, it's a good call. It's a good call. And now moving forward against the Commanders, Christian McCaffrey, 15 carries, right? And Ty Davis Price with Jordan Mason having that, you know, I got a hamstring injury. Ty Davis Price, 9 carries. Yeah, only 30 yards, only averaged 3.3 yards per carry. But just seeing him, I mean... Which we really hadn't seen him too much. I thought he looked like he could definitely spell McCaffrey, and you're going to get Elijah Mitchell back at some point. So I think that was good to see from the running back area. And obviously, you know, Jordan Mason has done some things. We hope that injury doesn't persist. So if you're going to play Deebo, it's got to be a version of what you're doing with Christian McCaffrey. You can't get Deebo happy, Kyle Shanahan. You just can't do it. If you don't trust yourself to not get Deebo happy, then don't play him. Well, but then you got to tell Deebo, hey, we're not playing you.
That's the beauty of where the 49ers are right now, is they're going to get Deebo Samuel back. They're probably going to get Elijah Mitchell back at some point as well. And they just have all of these different... Now the quarterback's playing better than the quarterback position has played at any point this year. So you're feeling great about your quarterback. You're feeling great about McCaffrey at this point. Mitchell at some point's coming back. You've got Deebo. Kittle's been unlocked. You know, Juwan Jennings is a third down conversion master at this point. The only guy that feels like he's not as much a part of it is Brandon Ayuk, but... You know, we'll see. I mean, he still catches big touchdowns when everybody falls asleep on him. So I think that he may not be happy with that from a personal standpoint right now, but he's still helping the team win in a big time way by being a threat. And so it's all clicking. And I mean, Nick Bosa looks like he's going to be the defensive player of the year. And, the defense continues on its worst days to be opportunistic and come up with the big play. Even when they are able to allow teams to move the football, they're coming up with a big fourth down stop. They're coming up with the pile on turnovers once you get a team down. I mean, that's all huge. Feels a lot like, frankly, the 2019 defense, where they were, the plays that they did make and the turnovers that they did get were at huge times, in addition to the general dominance. One quick note on Elijah Mitchell. Could start to practice toward the end of the week. I guess Friday, based on the calendar, is the first day they could open up his practice window. Mm-hmm. So he would not play this week. but he could play in week 18. So he could get back at practice this week, if not this week, next week for sure.
And I'll say this. I will be very happy when Elijah Mitchell returns. But JD, it is nice to see, and I know Jordan Mason having injury issues too, but it is nice to see what Jordan Mason can do. It is nice to see what Ty Davis Price can do, because when the Niners decided to move on from Jeff Wilson Jr., those of us that were worried about that move, it was simply because it was less about McCaffrey and simply because Elijah Mitchell is a guy who's had some trouble staying on the field. So it is, it, at least you know, if something like this happens again, which if I'm being honest, it has happened fairly often in the past, you have guys that don't seem to be Trent Richardson when looking, you know, trying to see holes and things like that in Jordan Mason and Ty Davis Price that can at least spell McCaffrey at the very least. So positive stuff.
415 Xfinity Mobile text line. Styles, I would not trade Brock Purdy for two first rounders right now.
All right. Okay.
Well, if you did that, you'd have to figure out who your quarterback's going to be next year.
Right, exactly.
Because, I mean, Jimmy's a free agent, and who knows about Trey at this point, whether he'll be healthy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this thing is headed. I mean, again, the playoffs do matter. How it ends matters.
Yes, and that's why it's hard to have this conversation. The future conversation, very tough to have.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, and look, the other part of this is, while it's fun maybe to talk about or throw out there, I mean, Garoppolo is not going to be, in all likelihood, he's not going to be fully healthy. Even if he's capable of playing, he's not going to be fully healthy. So at that point, it's, do you want a 70% Garoppolo over a 100% Purdy? And again, I mean, the answer to that is no.
No.
Like, you know, if maybe if it was 100 versus 100, but it, even if it was 100 versus 100 right now, to me, you're riding the hot hand at a minimum, and he may very well be better. He has been better to this point in the, what, four games, he has been better, right?
Better.
Yeah, Miami, Tampa, Seattle. Yeah,
four. Yeah, games. better and healthier. Better and healthier. Yeah, 415, to that point about trading the two first-rounders, I asked, would you trade, because that was when we were talking to our Raider buddy on the phone, I asked, would you trade Derek Carr for Brock Purdy? That's what I asked.
No. Not right now. You know what you have. I mean, yeah. You know what you have in Purdy right now. You don't. I mean, Derek Carr's had a down year. He's had some good years, but I mean, right? It's like the Garoppolo debate about Derek Carr. There was always the Garoppolo Carr debate, right? And 1 year Garoppolo was better. The next year Carr was better. The next year Garoppolo was better. The next year Carr was better. The next year Garoppolo was better.
Like, but the problem
you could go
that,
back and forth into oblivion. And this year Garoppolo would have been better, right? Last year Carr would have been better.
But no,
right?
We're up against it. But I'm gonna say it, and then you're gonna have to drop to a JD, and someone's gonna get mad at me. But I still think you can't do that, because I don't know what Derek Carr does. Derek Carr's never had a top five defense. Derek Carr's never had, I mean, he's got weapons this year who half of them weren't on the field. I know we're up against it, but I don't know if that's fair, JD.
All right.
I don't know if that's fair.
Look, there's been years, I think Derek Carr over his career has been a better quarterback than
Jimmy Garoppolo
than Jimmy.
Would not have gotten to the playoffs last season with that Raiders team. No way.
No, I would say probably not.
All right.
All right. 2 hours down. We got 2 hours to come. The 95.7 The Game merch store is live. Rennell and Hercules, she ordered a DPOY sweatshirt today. You can get yours, 957thegameshop.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.